Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum.
Amen.
Thank you, dear brothers. Thank you. And welcome back to Nation Building Presents. And once again, we are here with our distinguished panelists, Student Minister Stanley Muhammad out of College Park, Georgia, and he's doing part two on making a happy family. So we're going to bring Brother Student Minister Stanley on, but not before we get an introduction and greetings, well, not an introduction, a presentation and greetings from my dear co-host, Brother Reginald Wynn. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen. And all praises
How
be to Allah. Oh, I'm good by Allah's grace, of course. And in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the one that the scriptures prophesied would come, for it says in Matthew 24 and 27, as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I am eternally grateful to Almighty God, Allah, and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, for searching among us in the wilderness, now the jungles of North America, to find one who was worthy to carry his message, his Messiah, the begotten of the dead and the first fruit of them that slept, our eternal leader, teacher, and preacher of freedom, justice, and equality, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ. And lastly, but nowhere near the least, if I were permitted to thank Allah over and over and over again, it would not be enough to thank Allah and show my deepest gratitude for giving us divine grace and mercy and presenting us and leaving us and having in our presence Jesus in our midst, a divine warner, guide, and teacher, the most honorable Louis Farrakhan. Minister Louis Farrakhan, excuse me. It is in their righteous names that I greet the listening audience. I greet Brother Stanley Muhammad and Sister Queen Aziza, the wonderful host, and the greeting words of peace and paradise. I say it in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. And we drop Brother Stanley just as you begin. Oh, my God, where did he go? Okay, I hope his phone is not dead. Okay. Let's try to get him back. Just on a second ago.
Sister Queen, she's got disconnected.
Yes,
I apologize.
No problem. Well, now that you're back with us, Student Minister Stanley, please present yourself to our listening audience once again.
Thank you again, Sister Queen, for this wonderful opportunity. First of all, start off in the most holy name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, who appeared to us in the divine person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, the Lord of all the worlds. We can never thank Allah enough for his love for us as the so-called American Negro, and coming 9,000 miles after us and seeking to save us from our open enemy, and making us into a new and perfect people. And he found from among us the exalted Christ, the promised Messiah that the whole world had been looking for, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We thank them both for our wonderful Redeemer, the chief disciple of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister of Farrakhan, the Vicar of Christ. I'd like to greet you all in the greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum. Pray to Allah that each and every one of you are in the best of health and spirit. Sister Queen, thank you once again for allowing me to be on these wonderful airwaves, your wonderful radio blog show. And thank you, Brother Reginald, the co-host of this wonderful radio blog show that would give our people a spiritual awareness, spiritual health. Tonight, we want to embark upon part two, how to build a happy family life, which I believe is a very, very important subject based on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is strong families that make a strong nation. Before every institution, before any institution, pardon me, was called into existence, the first institution was established was called family. God made Adam and Eve first and brought them into holy matrimony. And Adam and Eve then gave birth to their children, Cain and Abel, which constitutes a family. We want to embark upon this week is the proper relationship that we should have as male and female towards each other, because it's very important we have the proper understanding of how we should relate to each other before we get together. And unfortunately, most of us are getting together out of a biological need, some kind of personal need, and not the will of God. And most of us are not following the pattern, the methodology that God has given us to come together. Because whatever is your motive or why you come together will determine how long that relationship will last. And it's proven in the statistics that most marriages are winding up in divorce because the motive is not rooted in the will of God. And our intentions with these series of how to build a happy family life is to help us escape failure in our marriages, failure in building a competent, loving, happy family life. You know, prevent us from failing and allow us to fall in love with the will of God that will produce a cycle of happiness opposed to what we're producing, a cycle of unhappiness and lack of peace. I want to start off as a foundation before we go into the deep subject matter for tonight. Not deep like it's too deep for any of us on the phone, but it's deep because it's a lot of pain that we are experiencing in our homes. And the pain can be escaped if we grow beyond ourselves. And so I want to read Torchlight for America, pardon me, on page 99 as a foundation to go into what we're going to go into by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, promoting positive relationships between the sexes. The basis of proper male-female relationships, if I may, Sister Queen. Neither male nor female can fulfill their relationships to each other until they are first properly connected to the source of all creation, which is God. This is why the divorce rate is so high, and the dissatisfaction rate in relationships between the sexes is even higher. The natures of male and female are different, but they are meant to complement each other. In the absence of knowledge, the different natures of male and female can work destructively against the self and against the union of both. The fundamental knowledge that is absent in male-female relationships is the knowledge of how we should relate to God and each other. It is our disconnection from God that is at the root of failing and improper relationships between man and woman. This is a very deep problem in the relationship between black men and women. One of the major crimes perpetuated against us when we were brought into slavery was that a true and proper relationship between us and God were severed. The slave master stood in the place of God and made us to relate to him as master in the place of God. To this very moment, no matter how much we say we believe in God, Jesus, and Muhammad, many of us subconsciously relate to whites as master, and God is just a word that we use. And that's the end of the reading that I'm going to read on that subject, coming from the book Torchlight for America from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But I do want to elaborate on what we just read and go into the subject. See, most of us are not fulfilling our relationship with each other because we're not seeking God first. We're seeking to gratify our flesh, unfortunately. So God just becomes a word. But we have a desire to be made secure. Women, unfortunately, have a problem in general, not all, but in general. Seeking validation from a man opposes seeking validation from God. And when a woman tries to make a man a replacement for God, that's when her woes begin. The way the woman dresses, if she's wearing tight clothes, to accent her form, if she is exposing her embellishments, she's not starting off with a good motive. Because it is the ignorance of that woman who does not understand that when she shows her embellishments, it actually brings out the bestial appetite in a man. And it's difficult for a man to think sanely with a woman's embellishments in his presence. So here, this is a woman that had been captured by Satan. And a woman captured by Satan is different from a woman of God. A woman of God understands that anything of value is covered. You go in the earth, the gold is covered, the diamonds is covered, the uranium is covered, the oil, the platinum is covered. And if the woman sees herself as being not valuable but invaluable, she would cover. And she would preserve her consolation for a man that makes a commitment to her in marriage. And that's the nature of a woman, is to console a man that is serving and doing the work of God. So before the man gets with the woman and the woman gets with the man, first the man must know what his role is as a man, as a husband, as a father. The woman must know what her role is as a woman, as a wife, as a mother. But there are so many negative influences that's distracting us from our study of our role So I want to highlight, before we get together, we must purify ourselves from the impure ways of the world, lest we bring the baggage of the world into the relationship, and that causes conflict, it causes contention, and Lord forbid, children are involved, and the children psychologically, mentally, spiritually grow up scarred and imbalanced. So first, a man who is considered the head of the family, but Christ should be the head of man. And if Christ is that man's head, it should be seen in the man's action. It should be seen in the man's language. It should be seen in his spirit or felt in his spirit. A man represents a producer. A man represents someone who has a vision. A man must have a vision from God. And a man without vision, as the Bible says, a people without vision shall perish. A man without vision doesn't need a woman, number one. That's the first step, Sister Queen. He must know what he's born to do, or what he's, if he doesn't know what he's born to do, he must know what his goal is in life. I want to be a pilot. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a scientist. But if a woman asks a man, what do you want to do in life? I don't know. Do you want to get a job? That's not sufficient. Because if the Bible says a woman is a helpmeet to a man, not M-A-A-T, because most men are looking at women as meat, and some women treat themselves as a, that's all they are. But M-E-E-T, to help a man meet his vision that...
Brother Stanley?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes, sir. You kind of went out
okay.
for a second.
I apologize, my dear Sister Queen. So a man's job is to actually have a vision to build the kingdom of God as a scientist, as a doctor, as a chemist, as an engineer. And this woman must know what his vision is. And so once the man has a vision, then the woman must know that this is the kind of man I want to help. This agrees with my spirit. This agrees with the direction I want to go in life. Because a man that's working, after work, he deserves consolation. Not before work. Because a man who ain't doing nothing, ain't going nowhere, he don't need consolation. A woman is not man's woman. A woman is God's woman. And if she is God's woman, she desires to console a man of God. That's her nature. When she sees the attributes of God in a man, that's what causes her to fall in love with him, because God put it in her innate nature to love a man that is godly, righteous, pure, gentle to her, but firm against anyone who tries to attack her or harm her. These are characteristics of God, because God is a protector and a provider, and so is the nature of a man. So here we look in the Holy Quran that describes this wholesome relationship between male and female verse 21, called the Romans. Listen to what Allah says. And of his signs is this, that he created mates for you from yourselves, that you might find quiet of mind in them. And he put between you love and compassion. Surely there are signs in this for people who reflect. Let's stop right there now. God actually is creating mates for you from among yourself. What do you mean yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What is yourself? A righteous Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So he's creating a mate for you from among your own community that was given birth by your nature. Our nature as black people, we're by nature righteous. We are righteous people by nature. And so a Muslim is a righteous servant of God, one who submits his or her will to do the will of God. So that's the first step. 50% of our compatibility, as we're taught by Honorable Ms. Mustafa Khan, is our belief, our nature. When you find a man and you find a woman that's striving to be themselves, a righteous person, and follow the righteous principles found in the Bible, found in the Holy Quran, found in the scriptures of God, and striving to pattern their life after the prophets of God, whose life is a physical expression of the word of God. And that's why the book of John, Brother Reginald can quote it so beautifully, in the beginning was the word.
Right.
And the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became what? Flesh and dwelled among men. So this is what a woman is looking for, a man that is the word of God in flesh. Not just word in terms of talking the word, but everything he does, you can find his actions in the Holy Quran. You can find his actions in the truth of the Bible. That's what it means by creating mates from among yourselves. And when you got a man like that, when you got a woman like that, the next part of that verse said, you will find quiet of mind in them. They're going to give you a peace of mind. Now, peace generates power. I'm going to say that again. It's peace that generates power. And you as a man are going to need power to actually express your vision or fulfill your vision as a black man in a white supremacist society. You're going to have some power now. But if you don't have peace and you're not happy with each other, let's look at the chapter 8, verse 44. Let's see what happens to this peace. In the Holy Quran, chapter 8, verse 44, Allah clearly tells us what happens to this power. Let's just see what the Lord of the world says. And he says, and obey Allah and his messenger. Then he gives another instruction, Sister Queen, Brother Reginald, and dispute not one with another, lest you get weak-hearted and your power departs. Now, Allah says, obey Allah and his messenger. And if we do that, we won't dispute with each other, because you both desire the will of God. But if you do dispute, Allah says you get weak-hearted. Now, it is weakness that produces wickedness. See, Satan's first objective in your relationship is to make your heart weak towards your spouse. My love for her is weak. And when you argue, argument makes you feel like you don't love that person no more. The Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan said, argument vacuums love from the relationship. See? And then he said, argument kills the spirit of God in the relationship.
Yes, sir.
When you quarrel, not argue, when you quarrel, because Allah said you can argue in the best of manner. But when you quarrel and dispute in this context, you become weak-hearted. When love diminishes, it produces weakness in the heart towards your spouse. When the Spirit of God diminishes as a result of quarreling, it makes your heart weak. And then poor brother leaves the house after arguing with his wife. He doesn't see her in a positive light. His heart is weak. And boy, he's at the bus stop, and this fine Coca-Cola bottle, sister, smelling good, got her heels on, hair done, nails done, everything done. He left his wife. She didn't brush her teeth in the morning.
Watch out.
No, her hair. Bad breath, bad spirit, hair all wild like Hurricane Katrina. She just left the, you know, a storm and just cussed him out. Just get on out of here with your old nasty self.
Mm.
Poor brother, I'm leaving. Boom, slam the door. He's at the bus stop and she's just the opposite. She's smelling good, looking good, and she looked at him with eyes, batting her eyes at him. How you doing, Johnny? Well,
wow.
I'm just fine. And so the weakness of his heart that was produced through the argument now invites wickedness, which now he begins to look at her in a lustful way. And that lust can lead to adultery. That lust can lead to fornication. And that's why the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, never leave your homes after you argue. Settle that argument. Make up and then leave your home, because you never know as a man or a wife if you will never see your spouse again. And if you have a misfortune and you lose your life, that's the last thought or last experience you have with your spouse is contention. And if you argue, you become weak-hearted, and your power to resist that woman will depart from you. That you too, sister, because you can leave, and that brother can probably be a stay-at-home man because he lost his job. Getting fat. He arguing with you, he cussing you out because he's frustrated. Bad breath. You know? Looking unpleasing, acting unpleasing. Now you, I'm gone, and you shut the door. And you are at the bus stop, and this buff brother, big muscles. It's the summertime. Chest big, thighs thick, ain't got no shirt on, and six-pack, and got them little shorts on, jogging by you. Any jogging place. So how you doing, Susie? You sure looking nice today.
So are you, Bill?
So she's weak-hearted. And she doesn't, she's angry with you as a man. She's weak-hearted now. And now her power to resist Bill, because Bill is built, and you at home fat and sloppy because you lost your job and you're laying around like a fat bum. I hate to put it like that, but that's the way it is sometimes.
Yes, sir.
And you talking to her like you are a protector and a provider. And now she don't, her spirit towards you, her love towards you has dwindled. Her spirit of God
towards you have dwindled. But this man is looking good and looking prosperous, and he's talking sweet to your woman. Now her power to resist fornication, resist adultery, had departed from her. When we are taught, if you quarrel, refer it to God and his messenger. Sit down and rectify the problem, because if you both are believing men and a believing woman, and you believe in the word, you should know the word as a man and guide your wife to what you're saying from the word and say, baby, this is what thus saith the Lord, but not in an evil spirit, not in a bitter spirit, but a loving spirit, and guide your wife back to the spirit of love and back to the spirit of compassion. If you want to save your marriage, and the marriage is the foundation of family.
Yes, sir.
But we are all so into our own
beautiful
selves.
Bro. Beautiful.
We're into ourselves. Now look at here.
Come on.
So here we are. I want to show you some pictures of how relationships get started and the price a man's supposed to pay when he wants to take on a wife. And he is a man of God. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 29, dealing with Jacob and Rachel and Leah. And this is I'll give you a brief synopsis, family. This is something we lost. I mean, this is going to, what I'm about to read is totally foreign to the black community. And it's showing you how far away we are from these wonderful principles, okay? These wonder, and these marriages I'm citing in scripture, there was no divorce. Didn't end up in divorce at all, because it had the right motive. And if you have the right motive, if you have a motive from God, everything from God lasts forever. Satan has a beginning and an ending. And if you have a satanic motive, your relationship will have a beginning and it will have an ending. And Satan has a short time. And so will your relationship be. But if it's rooted in God, your relationship will last forever. Now look at this. I want to highlight, let's start with the fourth verse. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? They said, O Haran, are we? And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Noor. Son of Noor, pardon me. And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until the roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And look at this now. He was so overjoyed when he saw her. He had tears of joy. This tears of joy was a longing to be with her. This was love. When a man sees the woman of his dreams, his spirit is moved such that his tears of joy will be proven in his actions. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father, and it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Now here's a man that was in search for Rachel. And when he found, see, a man, when he has a vision, he knows the kind of woman he's looking for. And when he finds that woman that complements his nature, you'll see the joy in his eyes. And he will do whatever that father asks him to do. The man should go to the father. You man, you're not a real man if you go straight to that woman and you disrespect the father that produced that girl.
Come on.
Real men go to the father and respect the father that gave birth to that daughter.
Come on.
And you wonder why, sisters, that man don't respect you? Because you don't force him to respect the man that gave you life by God's permission. What did Rachel do? Rachel ran and told her father. Most girls, they don't tell their father about the man in their life. They hide it from their father. "Well, I can handle this. I'm grown. I can, they don't know what he's talking about. He going to just run the man away. You all insecure." But men shopping men like steel shopping steel. Let your father test that man as Laban tested Jacob's sincerity. "Oh, you want my daughter? Work for me for 7 years." He didn't run Jacob away. Jacob said working for 7 years was like, it just seemed like a few days because I loved her so much. Any man that wants your hand, sisters, he got to make a commitment first and prove his love. All right. That's one scripture. Let me tell you. Should I stop or should I keep going, Sister Queen?
I don't know.
I don't know what I should do.
You have some questions, Brother Stanley. And
I should stop then.
I don't know. It's up to you. It's up to you.
Oh, let's get the. We can get to the question. Well, let me give you one more. Moses served Jethro for 10 years in the Holy Quran. I'm going to give a Quranic scripture, because there might be some Muslims that might not say, "I don't believe in the Bible." Well, let's go to the Quran. There's another story about Moses did the same thing. Chapter 28.
Mm-hmm.
Moses serves Jethro for his daughter before he goes to Midian. And you know, before Moses sees the fire, he travels with his family. Before this, before he gets a vision, he has established a family first. And let me just read this. And I want all you listening, please formulate your questions, because we want to solve this problem of this cycle of death in our families. We want to build strong families so we can have a strong nation. Now look at chapter 28, verse 22, with the help of God. History of Moses. And it says, And when he turned his face towards Midian, he said, maybe my Lord would guide me in the right path. And when he came to the water of Midian, he found there a group of men watering. And he found besides them two women keeping back their flocks. He said, what is the matter with you? They said, we cannot water until the shepherds take away their sheep from the water, and our father is a very old man. So he watered their sheep for them. Then he went back to the shade and said, my Lord, see, he's praying now, I stand in need of whatever good thou mayest send to me. And he's talking about one of them women. He's asking God for a woman. And then verse 25, Sister Queen, Brother Reza, guess what happened? Then one of the two women came to him walking bashfully. You know how women just walk real slow and real bashful, and you know. And she said, my father, this is what she said, my father, everybody say, my father invites thee that he may invite thee that he may reward thee for having watered for us. Now here this girl has a respect for her father. She's showing a woman don't ask bashful like that, not just she has an interest in the man too. But what women like is men showing gentleman qualities. This man, he didn't sit there and let her water it herself, and then while they carrying the heavy water, he talking to them. No, he helped the women. Like if you go in the grocery store, man trying to talk to you, you struggling with the, hey girl, you looking nice. He not helping you with the bags. You know?
Right.
But a real man will help a woman with her burden. And that's what caused Jethro's daughter to be attracted towards him. And that's when she walked bashfully and said, my father. She ran and told her father. And that's why, brothers, you must have a good relationship with your daughters. Because a man that actually has a good relationship with his daughter grows up to want to marry a man like her father. She should not fear you. She should love you. The only fear she should have is fear displeasing you. And when she loves you, and you don't harm her, you protect her, you provide for her. And whenever a man comes into her life, she has a handful of daddy's business cards. Here's my dad's business card. You interested, give him a call, and he will see if you're qualified. So she said, my father invites thee that he may reward thee for having watered for us. So when he came to him and related to him the story, he said, fear not, thou art secure from the iniquitous people. So he was saying, I need to explain myself. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. And the father, Jethro, said, fear not, Moses. Thou art secure from iniquitous people. I know you have a good intention. And one of them said, oh, my father, employ him. Please, he's a nice guy. I like him. Give him a job. They must have had a family business. And he said, surely the best of those that thou canst employ is the strong and the faithful one. So a real man is strong and he's faithful. And he said, I desire to marry. He didn't say, I desire to date. He said, I desire to marry one of these two daughters of mine to thee on condition that thou serve me for 8 years. He said, I didn't desire to date one of my daughters out to you. You can go on a date. No, I desire to marry. So the father had to make it clear these daughters are marriage material. Mm-hmm. But if you serve me for 8 years, But if thou complete 10, I will be of thy own free will, and I will not be hard on thee. If Allah please, thou will find me one of the righteous. Now, this is a proposition that Jethro is offering Moses. If you really want to marry one of my daughters, you can work for me for 7 years. Now, 7 years sound like it's the basic standard of a man who desires another man's daughter. That's the value. Now, which one of you in the audience out there, you see a girl you like, will you work for her father for 7 years?
Oh, we ain't in Moses' time.
Well, no. You still have to actually have the commitment of Moses if you want to have the results of Moses, because Moses had a family and they did not divorce. They were a happy family. Jacob and Leah and Rachel, they were a happy family. They did not divorce because there was a commitment. And both Jacob and Moses was faithful to that commitment. And look at here. He said, thou agreed between me and thee. That is agreed, pardon me, between me and thee. Whichever of the terms I fulfill, there will be no injustice to me. The law is surely over what we say. See? And then when Moses had completed the term, he was traveling with his family. So he completed it. He worked and completed the term of 7 years. And the scriptures say, some say he worked for 10 years. He was really in love. So here we are seeing that there's no way, brothers, you can come to a woman who is a woman of God. See, a woman that's captured by Satan, she don't have no standard. She meets you in the club and she'll have sex with you and you like it, and then y'all start dating, and then you wind up wondering why she had sex with somebody else, your friend, because she's not a woman, a principal. None of these women had sex with premarital sex with Moses or Jacob. Because when you have premarital sex, what that does, it intoxicates the mind. You're not sober-minded. Now you're not looking at the facts no more, because you're intoxicated with sex. Like a drunk driver, they make poor judgments. And sex makes you make poor judgments. They were sober-minded in their decision. And they had a third party. The father was always the one who had the terms and conditions. Well, you might say, I don't have a father. But your pastor can stand as your father. Your minister can stand as your father. Your uncle, any good example man, can serve as your father. So I'll stop right there, Sister Queen, because I've been rolling for almost 50 minutes. And I got a lot more to share, but let's stop right there. I don't want to give too much.
Okay, all praises due to Allah. You teaching hard, Brother Stanley. Okay.
All praises due to
Allah.
Let me remind
the listening audience, those of you who are calling by telephone, I'm going to tell you this one good time. Don't make me call you out. Brother Stanley is here to help us bridge any gaps that we may have in our marriage, in our family. So please, feel free to ask your questions. I said I was going to call somebody out and some people hung up. Okay. All right. So listen, press 1 on your dial pad if you have a question about your marriage, about your family. And if you want to remain anonymous, you can do that as well. So we're going to start with somebody from Atlanta, area code 404. Your mic is now live. It's a lot of people. Last four numbers, 4458.
Waalaikum Salaam.
Waalaikum Salaam.
Brother Joshua from Atlanta. Thank you, sister.
How you doing, Brother Josh?
I'm doing just fine. I just wanted to say that I've known Brother Stanley for quite some time now. He's a good brother and more so. He's a wonderful, wonderful husband. He fits right in the scripture where it talks about the book of Ephesians talks about being a good man to your wife and being a Christ example. Don't know that many people that could, you know, hold up the way the brother does. I just wanted to call in and, you know, let brother know that, you know, he is certainly a shining star in your eyes.
Praise be to Allah.
He counseled my son and did a great job in fathering my son and helped him out a lot. I just want to ask brother if he can expound briefly on putting on the full armor of God. And I think basically he's been talking about it already, but if he could just talk about putting on that full armor, because there are those, the scripture, there are those who draw nigh unto me with their lips, but yet their hearts are far removed.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we get caught up in these relationships, riding in on love, but we ride out on hatred.
Right. That's
and
right.
We don't have a balance at the end of the day, and we think it's just about me and that woman or me and that man and perhaps a few children. But there are many, many people that become attached to that marriage. If you could just talk about putting on the full armor, how that full armor really protects not only the couple and the children, but how it couple and protects the community. Thank you, sir. Thank you again, Sister Stone.
Yes, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you,
You're
Brother
welcome,
Joshua.
Sir. Well, Brother Josh,
okay.
I would like to say he's referring to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Starting with the 10th verse and down to the 19th verse. And basically, Paul is telling us to put on the full armors of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because when you love each other in a relationship, the devil hates to see happiness in your life. He hates to see black people loving each other, period. And when you fall in love with your black woman and you fall in love with your black man, the devil goes to work to weaken you, weaken that love. And when he weakens that love, then we talked about that's what gives birth to wickedness. Weaken your faith. And then verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your poor wife can jump in the car. She's in love with you. Your poor husband can jump in the car. He's in love with you. And you turn on the radio. And you start hearing, you know, girls in the club twerking it, making it rain. You like the beat and you're dancing to the beat, but the lyrics are from the devil. It's injecting evil thoughts in the firm resolution of your mind. So that means you now have to put on the helmet of salvation to protect your mind from the evil suggestions cast in firm resolutions. So you listen to it on a regular basis. I'm not caring about the music. I'm listening to the beat. Twerk it, girl. Twerk it, cuz. You know. Then you're both singing it. You listen to 2 Chainz. All I want for my birthday is a big booty girl. And you talking about that. Your wife is letting you listen to that? And you don't think that he eventually going to want that for his birthday? So what you got to do is put on the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? You must love God's word so much that you repudiate or you rebuke that kind of lyrics. Cut that off. So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us in the rules of Islam, prevent your women and girls from listening to filthy songs. Well, how can we as men prevent them from listening to filthy songs if we're not leading by example?
Come on.
Because garbage in, garbage out. You listen to garbage, Prince, but eventually you're going to start living it. You're going to start doing it. And then what that is doing, those rap lyrics, is making you perceive this is fun. This is what it means by having a good time. I got to turn it up. I got to smoke some kush. See? And so this is what Brother Josh is saying. We got to put on the helmet of salvation, which we have to immerse our mind with the word of God. And then it says, wherefore take unto the whole arm of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil, withstand in the evil day, pardon me, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You have to have truth and righteousness as a weapon. And we hurl truth, the Holy Quran says, at falsehood until it knocks out its brain. If your spouse has a love for that kind of music or that kind of TV show like Scandal, I hope I ain't busting up nobody's, you know, Scandal.
Yeah, bust
See?
It up. It's fine.
Because it's promoting homosexuality on that. It's promoting, it's all right to fornicate and commit adultery on that show. So here we kind of make able when we see our spouse or we see our potential spouse engage and immerse themselves in devilish activities through the music, through the TV, through the internet, then we have to hurl the truth at falsehood. And we have to guard ourselves, our heart, with the plate of righteousness. We have to love righteousness. See? And so, and I close, and your shoes or your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, pardon me, in supplication for all saints. See, so now here we are told to put on the whole arm of God, Sister Queen and Brother Reginald, but we have to know how. And I humbly say it to all of you, the Honorable Minswus Farrakhan is God's anointed servant. He's the vicar of Christ, and he's teaching the whole world and teaching us as black people how to put on the whole armor of God.
Yes,
and that's how we answer that question, Brother Josh.
Yes, sir. All praises to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Brother Joshua, did he answer your question, sir?
Yes, he did, and I certainly appreciate that because sometimes, even in the mosque, we can forget that we need to wear that helmet of salvation. And we
That's
become
right.
lax in our duty and our obligations to Almighty God. And we make the houses of God houses of ill repute. And we have to examine our actions because, as Brother was saying earlier, that, you know, we have to get permission from the Father. And when I look at Brother's wife with an ill thought in mind, that's corrupt. I look at his daughter with an ill thought in mind, that's corrupt. But we have to guard against that because we've been for the last 400 and some years, and I wanted Brother to just expound on that because we as the Nation of Islam are not exempt from the wiles of this world. We are part of this world, but we have to be in it, but not of it. So by Brother expounding on that, I certainly appreciate it. And I'm sorry, Brother Redman, but thank you too. And I certainly appreciated you a couple of weeks ago as well, my brother. Thank you again, Brother Stanley. Yes, ma'am, he did answer well.
You're welcome, sir. Praise be to
thank
Allah.
Thank you, Brother Josh. Okay, and we're going to take a question from someone that we are all very familiar with, Student Minister Andre Muhammad out of Grand Rapids. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, there, Sister Queen Aziza, and I would like to extend the greetings to my beloved brothers, Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and Brother Reginald.
Wa alaykum salam, Student Minister Andre.
Yes, sir. I don't have a question. I just wanted to comment on the subject matter, definitely, because it is in tune with the time and what must be done, even though that's not the subject matter of the minister, but it is definitely in tune with the time and what must be done, because we know for a fact that the slave masters, they split up the families when they brought our ancestors here. And they also kept
That's
them
right.
split when they were on the plantation. So
mm-hmm.
they did not allow the happy family or the purification of our hearts as black men and women in this country. So it is definitely necessary that you are doing this lecture series for that particular subject. And I do appreciate it because I am being a student. And please let me be one tonight, Sister Queen. I just want to be a student tonight. I don't want to have to be on the panelist tonight. But, yes, ma'am. Please
okay, I'll give you the night
tonight.
Off, Brother Andre.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
And Brother
Pray
James,
you are not by
y'all
yourself.
Got the
you
night
are
off.
Praise
Brother
be to Allah.
Muhammad is king.
Yeah, you are definitely opening up some jewels there, dear brother, and I definitely appreciate it. I'm taking notes as we speak. So,
praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's all I had to say, Sister Queen, but inshallah, I will definitely be on Saturday night to the show.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Okay, thank you, Student Minister Andre. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
For the rest of you out there, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Press one on your dial pad. I might open up some of y'all mics since I know all these phone numbers, and don't y'all hang up. But I'm going to take these questions from Yahoo Chat. And we have a question from DMA. D as in Donna, M as in Mary, A as in Apple is her screen name. And she says she's been married almost 14 years this May and bored with her husband. He's a good man. I don't want to divorce him, but he has me stuck in a routine. Brother Stanley?
Yes. Well, I would say this to Sister. That number one, if you are bored with your husband, now that's a broad statement, bored, then you need to sit down with him and speak to him. Straight. The Holy Quran says speak straight words and define where your boredom derives from. And so sometimes you have to initiate that which you desire in the relationship. If you desire more social activity with your husband, well, you have to create the excitement because enthusiasm is contagious. What you want him to be, you must be yourself. See, when you love somebody, you're willing to do whatever it takes to save them from their unhappiness. Maybe he's unhappy. Maybe he's hurting. Maybe he needs inspiration. Because if he's not inspiring you, then how can you expect him to actually inspire himself? Because you and him are one. So I really would need more facts on what you mean by boredom. But you're never bored when you have a relationship that is rooted in God. Now, you might, I don't know if you all are spiritual and you have a spiritual relationship. And if you do have a spiritual relationship with God and each other, then you should be feeding off that word. And you all should be enjoying each other's company. Now, I don't know if he's refusing. I don't know if someone else got his attention. I don't know if you drove him away with argument. See, sometimes that happens. A woman can be contentious with her tongue and run that poor brother away. Or that man can just be a worldly man. And when he's worldly, he might have 5 years in a relationship, got caught up in another relationship outside the home, and have abandoned you. But you say he's a good man. Now, goodness, a man can provide for you, give you food, clothing, shelter. He can be nice to you, but he's not spending time with you. I think Jaheim said something like this. He said he gave her, I can't sing, y'all. He gave her diamonds and furs and this and that and the other. He said, I should have remembered to spend more time with her. When she started coming home late from work, see? Started, you know, playing little games, forgetting her ring. He abandoned her. But he was, in some women's eyes, a good man because he gave her the material things. But he did not give her the attention. And a woman can have a big home. She can have a fine car, diamond rings, fur coat. But if she don't have a good man, she'll give all that up just for a good man. So I don't know, my sister, I'm trying to hit on points. I'm shooting in the dark. I wish you was on the phone and you can elaborate what the boredom is, how you define a good man. See? Is he providing for you? But if he's not spending time with you and you're bored and maybe just sits at home and does the same thing and flops on the couch and watches the football game and doesn't communicate with you and he answers your question yes or no and that's it. Well, maybe he's bored with you too. And you might be bored with each other because God is not in your life. And I'll tell you, God is not boring. God is fun. God is exciting. When you have God in your life and you make him real, my wife and I, we go up, we ran up Stone Mountain on our 23rd anniversary. We had a great time going up Stone Mountain. And we said, this is going up this mountain like our marriage for 23 years. It's not easy, but it trims the fat. It gets you in shape. And when you get to the top, you can say, we made it together. We had fun. We had fun. And I tell you, when you have someone you love, and they're your friend, like my wife is my friend. I met her when she was 16. I'm 43. She's my buddy. She's my partner. We have fun just going to take out the trash together, to be honest with you. Honey, you want Robin Jay? Honey, I never thought you would ask. And we just talk and talk. And after we take out the trash, we'll go get some ice cream, Sister Queen. It's my friend. It's a woman who died for me 9 times and gave me 9 children. What's too good for her? I'm in debt to her. I study her. What makes her happy, and I give her more of it? Why not? And she reciprocates. What makes my husband happy, I give him more of it. And you'll never be bored when you think about each other and not think about yourself. What makes him happy? See, it sounds like you say, I am bored. But what about him? Your job is to make a man for God. And his job is to make a woman for God. And if you stop focus on yourself and focus on each other, that's when life comes into your relationship. And that's how I would answer that, Sister Queen. Are we still online?
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I forgot to come off of mute. Okay,
Brother Reginald,
I'm going to yield to you, and I got some more questions, but I'm going to yield to you now because I know you probably have some out of your chat room and
okay.
Your own personal questions.
Thank you for yielding, Sister Queen. And this question comes from Brother Yehuno. I always pronounce his name wrong. Could you help me out with the name, Sister?
It's my nephew, Eugenio.
Eugenio.
I like that name.
My
Eugenio.
Beloved brother and friend.
I like that name.
Companion. Okay, he has a comment and a question for you, Brother Stanley.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read it all at the same time because I know you can handle it because you got this relationship thing down to the very, very core. He says, I am beginning to see the importance of relationships between black man and black woman. Yet, is it possible that before to embark to begin a family, should they also learn how to heal the previous relationships with mother and father? Would such a healing bring a resolution to a man or a woman?
That's a great question. I would say, my dear brother, that healing is always a prerequisite before you get involved in a relationship because you have to be honest with yourself. If you are, in a bad relationship with your mother or father, then it's a baggage that you carry into that relationship. Because if you can't love the man and the woman to make up who you are, that means subconsciously you don't love yourself. And the degree you love yourself, that's the degree you will love your spouse. And sometimes you'll rob your spouse of that love because you know they deserve your 100% love, not 25%. So that's why it's important that we learn the art of atonement and reconciliation. And it's very important that we study the wonderful technology given to us by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan called Dianetics, which was produced by L. Ron Hubbard, which is a tool that allows us to go into the soul and mind and make contact with those breaches in the relationship between mother and father and child, whatever abuse that you experience. And then when that engram or demon is contacted, there is a science where the pain can be erased and you're no longer ill affected. And now you'll be free to give your spouse
the 100% love that he or she deserves. So I encourage everyone, before they get married, they should get audited or go through life repair or Dianetics. That's how I would answer that question, my dear brother. I pray Allah answered it for you.
Okay, Sister Queen, I have another one, and it's kind of close to, if that's okay with you, Sister Queen, can I ask another one?
Absolutely.
Okay, Brother Stanley, this question says, I have a good husband, but he does not affiliate himself with any religious organization. I have been reading the Holy Quran, and I am interested in the teachings of the Nation of Islam. Can I join and still be married to him?
Okay, that's a great question. When you have a man that's spiritual, he doesn't associate himself with any kind of religious affiliation. Well, that's a good start. I don't know his entire character. I would have to get more information about that. But if he believes in God and he strives to live according to righteous principles, well, that's good. If you are studying the Holy Quran and you're studying Islam, well, when you are married, you're under the authority of your husband. He is your authority. And you cannot join unless you have his permission. And if you join without his permission, that will violate the principles and the protocol of your husband being your head. Now, most certainly, you have a right to join if you do not desire to be with your husband, which I wouldn't recommend. I would recommend for you to sit down with your husband and get his permission and get his blessings. And if you have his permission, you have his blessings, then join and come up with an understanding. And then I would recommend you find that student minister of that mosque to sit down with you both once your husband, it sounds like he will give you the blessings, because if he's allowing you to study the Holy Quran and study the teachings, it sounds like he's a very open-minded brother. Then the next step is, once you join, have that student minister there to come up with a way that you all can interact with each other without any conflict in the relationship. That's how I would answer that question.
Thank you, Brother Stanley. Wonderful answer. Definitely
praise
wonderful
me to
answer.
Allah.
Okay, I'm going to ask one more, Sister Queen, then I guess I'll let you go ahead and take over, because I have like 8 over here.
You're doing good. I got like
okay.
48 over here.
Whoa, okay.
Wow.
All right, Brother Stanley, here's one of my final questions before I let Sister Queen take over. It is, what is the difference between dating and courting? Because my mother said if you don't give your, I'm going to use virtue here, if you don't give your virtue to a man until you are married, that is a form of courting. Is this true?
Well, that is partially true. Dating has no rules to it. Dating is basically you are just on a social setting, and you don't have anyone as a chaperone to prevent you from speaking a language that would be considered filthy. And according to the word of God, you don't have anyone to guide you as a chaperone. And chaperones consist of a matured married couple, a happy married couple, that's there to answer your questions and guide you both to a sober-minded answer rooted in the word of God.
dating does not have rules in the way you dress, rules in the way you interact, but courting does. Because courting is all designed to give you the right perception of the man that you are courting, to see if he's compatible or not, to see if she's compatible or not, of course, with the help of a wonderful chaperone that can serve also as an arbiter, that can arbitrate any differences that might arise on the courtship social setting, and then you all can actually ask good questions, and the questions to find out if you are compatible, if the chemistry is there. And of course, in courtship, never is there premarital sex, never is there touching, because whatever leads to wrong is wrong. When you begin to kiss, when you begin to touch, it can lead to premarital sex, which now interrupts the sober-minded questions to see if this is the right person to give your life to for life. And that's how I would answer that question, Brother Reginald.
Thank you for that answer, Brother Stanley, Minister Muhammad. And it's on, it's all, take it over, Sister Queen.
Okay, I want to give the listener, and I'm hoping that my phone lines are not jammed, because I see a lot of you in here, so don't make me call you out, 415-323-225-404. See, when I do that, they start hanging up. 314-843-813-310-210. Y'all need to ask questions and take advantage of Brother Stanley being with us. And if you, and you know, and don't be shy. And if you don't want to give your name, don't give your name. You know, and I won't make a decision. A distinction about where you're from or anything like that, but you know, family is the cornerstone of our nation, and we're at a time now where everything is so very critical. You know, our spirituality, our growth, our development, our coming together in marriages, our coming together in family, resolving family discord. You know. Siblings, mothers, fathers. It's not just about that personal relationship with husband and wife, even though I know that that is the beginning of family. Like Student Minister Stanley said, that is the first institution that Allah made, was that of man and woman creating family. But we are at a point in our development and in our ushering in the hereafter where we're going to have to really sit down and talk to one another and heal those old wounds, because we're coming on a time where we're going to need one another like never, ever before.
That's
and
right.
So nobody knows what the future holds, but you do not want to close your eyes and take your last breath, you know, in being indifferent with someone that you love, whether it's your husband, your mother, your brother, your sister. So if you have questions about just family issues in general, please ask them. Okay, we're going to take a call from area code 513. So area code 513, your mic is now live.
Yes, I feel like I'm Sister Queen Aziza and Brother Stanley. I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing, and you know, along with my family. We're all enjoying it. And I just wanted to say that I can bear witness. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
I can hear you.
You hear what I'm saying? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
I just want to say that I'm bearing witness to, you know, what you all are saying about, you know, leaving bad thoughts and memories, you know, when you leave, you know, when you walk away from one another. Because years ago I had someone to tell me who, you know, one of my coworkers, that she had an argument with her husband, and it was a very bad argument, and he was so upset when he left that he got on the expressway the wrong way and had a head-on collision, and she was in so much pain. And while she talked about it, you know, she started to cry. She said, and I never got a chance to tell him that I loved him. So, you know, those things are very important. Everything that you're saying is important.
Mm-hmm. Praise be to Allah. And that's why we have to understand that, and I thank you for bearing witness with that incident. And I'm really sorry to hear the loss of our sister's husband.
Right.
But remember that no soul dies except by God's permission. And every
exactly.
one of us are here to serve God. And sometimes in serving God, we have to be an example of what God teaches. And when we say, I can bear witness to the value of that teaching, some people don't understand, you know, why should I resolve the argument now? I can resolve it when I feel like I don't feel like talking to him. You know, that's very selfish. But if God's servant is saying resolve it now because it might be the last time you see that person, and that you can never take back, you know, to that person. You know, you can heal from it, of course, but it takes time to heal from that kind of catastrophic circumstance. So that sister is a witness bearer of the value
mm-hmm.
of settling our differences immediately. And it's so important. Sometimes my wife and I had a argument or a difference. I took off work because I love her. I said, I'm calling in today. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm just telling you how important it is with me, because that's why we are together for 25 years. Because my marriage is important to me. You know, marriage is not more important than money. Hey, I can go to that job and they can give me a pink slip. They don't care. So why should I be more loyal to a job than to my family? And so we did that, and I'm so happy that the times we hugged and we kissed, and I was able to walk out that house feeling good about our marriage. And matter of fact, after we reconcile, we fall more in love with each other. The love of God returns and the Spirit of God returns. But thank you, sister, for sharing that, and please offer our prayers and our blessings to our dear sister.
All yes. praises due to Allah. Thank you all. I really appreciate what I be hearing. I really do.
All praises due to Allah.
Praise be to
Queen.
Allah.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Sister Queen.
Yes, Bill.
I just came across this, and I is it okay if I go ahead and read this? This is just how the dedication of a wife is to her husband, and what better person for us to use than the First Lady of the Nation of Islam, Sister Clara Muhammad. And it's just giving a little clip of how dedicated she was to her husband. It says, for many years, Clara served as her husband's liaison to the NOI, delivering both written and verbal instructions to lead minister in Chicago while her husband and able-bodied men were in prison for the draft. During his incarceration, Elijah Muhammad was a model prisoner and was allowed to teach his fellow inmates about Islam. His request for a Quran was denied. Sister Clara copied on paper English translations of the Quran and remained devoted to her husband, her family, and the Muslim schools until her death. She was the strongest and most courageous and dedicated woman of her time. She upheld a posture of grace, righteousness, kindness, and dignity, and her example was unparalleled by most women of her day. Her spirit lives on. I just want to read that just to throw out.
Wow, that is beautiful.
Thank you, Brother Reginald. That is absolutely beautiful. That's a great point.
All praises be to Allah.
Yes, sir. That's wonderful. And you know you got to send me that, right? Yes,
sir. I will do.
Okay, but Brother Stanley, before we go tonight, it's some talking points that I want to discuss with you, because from what we see in the world today, we have lost the value of family. And just, you know, I'm not going to even take it that far back, but going back to the days of when we were so-called freed from slavery. And those abilities that we had to build those 60 black towns and build a Black Wall Street and have our own businesses and banks and hospitals and schools, the value of the family was like no other. Now, not only your immediate family, but your community family. And so we were in an interdependent state of at that time, and we developed and we prospered, and, you know, we accumulated a lot of things for ourselves, and so we are now embarking upon such a time where those abilities are very much needed. But we have to first heal, because when we're talking about the economic blueprint, when we're talking about developing communities and things for ourselves, how can we do that when we look ill upon one another, all because of all of these engrams and all of this miseducation that we have received? So we're still looking at one another through a negative light and still treating each other just terrible, you know, because I say it all the time, you know, we want to rally and protest and cry and fall out when a white man takes the life of a child in our community, but we act like we are so desensitized when we kill one another, which should be a more horrific tragedy in the community.
That's right.
So how do we heal in order to come together and bring such programs like the Economic Blueprint together?
Well, that's a great question, Sister Queen. And I want to answer it, start the answer with a scripture, if I may. Let me turn to it. Psalms chapter 147, verse 3. And God says, He healeth the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. And since God is the one, in this, according to the scripture, that He heals our broken hearts and binds up our wounds, the first step for us to restore our families and our communities, Sister Queen, and our love for self, we have to know who God is. And how we know who God is, He begins to heal our broken hearts and bind up our wounds. We bear witness that God, in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 13 through 15, that spoke to Abraham 5,000 years ago and told Abraham, know of a surety, Abraham, your seed will be in a strange land, which is not theirs, and they will be afflicted for 400 years, Abraham. But after that 400 years, I will come and judge that nation which they did serve, and they will come out with great substance and go to their fathers in a ripe old age. Now, who is that talking about? In
us.
Geometry, yep, it's talking about us for sure. But the Jews, the European Jews, are saying it's talking about them. But we have to prove to the world it can't be them.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be us. Because Abraham was from the land called Iraq. And Iraq, the native people of Iraq, is black people. Semitic people. And Abraham has a seed, according to the book of Genesis, that is like the stars of heaven and the sand on the sea.
that no man can number. That can't be Caucasian people, because we outnumber Caucasian people 11 to 1. It's got to be black people. If you're talking about the seed of Abraham. And white people are only 400 million all throughout the planet. According to the statistics in 1930, and now their birth rate is below zero. But according to the population of the original nation, we are 4,400,000,000. So it's got to be a people that is populating the earth more than any other people. And that is the original black man and woman. And we are the only people that were brought from our native land, Africa, and brought to America, a strange land, and served a strange people. White people have a strange ideology. We know that. They are strange people. Licking dogs and kissing dogs, having sex with dogs. Very freaky and strange. We know that on the phone. We don't have to go there. You watch certain movies and they, how do you kill a certain person, eat their heart, you know, and freeze their liver, you know, and feed the liver to your children. I mean, they do crazy, strange things. And they treat us like a stranger. But God said, I will come. And God came out of his 66-trillion-year-old hiding place, Sister Queen. You know what brought him out of his hiding place? Is the evil that white people have done to us was so wicked that God had to come out of his 66-trillion-year-old hiding place to come and heal our wounds. And when he came, we were alcoholics, we were drug addicts, we were prostitutes. These are wounds. But when Master Faraj Muhammad came, he gave us the knowledge of ourselves. And the knowledge of ourselves produced love for self, because he told us that we are gods. We are the righteous, the best, and the powerful. And then the prostitute sister stopped whoring and cleaned up her life. The alcoholic stops drinking and pimping. Brother stopped pimping and, you know, all the evil we were doing, stealing, robbing, and we became a civilized, righteous people. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad was an alcoholic. Master Faraj Muhammad, he healed his broken heart and bound up his wound. That's how it starts. We have to know that God is present in the world. And when God works among the people, how you know he's God? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. And you don't see in the Nation of Islam us killing each other. No, you don't see that. You see black-on-black crime outside the nation. But you see black-on-black love inside the nation. And what you see in the nation, you want to see that, you know, reproduce in our general community at large. So we have to get our people to see, Sister Queen, that we in the Nation of Islam, we love each other. We love God. We were once alcoholics. We were once whoremongers. We were once liars. We were once pimps. But we met God, and he healed our broken heart and bound up our wounds. So we know who God is in this scripture. And he raised up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that man built a strong, happy family life. His brother Reginald so beautifully read about his wife's commitment to him, Mother Claire Muhammad. That man gave us an example of a strong family, a God-fearing family. And from that one family, he built a nation that no man can number. And then he reproduced himself in the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, and Honorable Minister Farrakhan from his family, after nation fell, he built a family. And then from that family, he rebuilt the nation of Islam. So that's how I would answer that, Sister Queen. A lot of our people don't want to look to the nation as an example of how they can have a happy family life because they said, I'm not a Muslim. But really, you are. Because 75% of the slaves that were brought from Africa, they were Muslims. Alex Haley did not believe that his family were Muslims when Malcolm told him that. So Alex Haley wanted to prove Malcolm wrong, and Alex Haley traced his roots all the way back to Gambia and went to a village called Jufre and found out that was an entire Muslim village. There was not one Christian in that village, and he went back and told the most honorable Elijah Muhammad that Malcolm was right, because Malcolm got assassinated, but he wanted to say Malcolm was right. We were Muslims. And that's when he did the movie Roots. And his own relative, Kuta Kinte, that was his relative. That was a true history of his roots. And Kuta Kinte, you can see on the slave ship, they were praying to Allah. So when our people realize that they are Muslims by nature, Sister Queen, and a Muslim loves for his brother what he loves for himself, that's the beginning of a happy family life. Because if you love your brother and love for him what you love for yourself, you're not going to shoot your brother. You're not going to see your brother in need of food and then you have a bowl of soup. As a Muslim, we have a bowl of soup. Half belongs to my brother. Half belongs to my sister. If your brother is homeless, you give him shelter. If your brother needs a suit, you raise money or you give him one of your suits. Give him a pair of your shoes. That's brotherhood. And the Bible said, how you know we pass from death to life? For we love the brotherhood. We can't let a day go by that we walk by our brother and sister in need and we have money, we have cars, we have homes, we have food. And if our brother don't have it, our sister don't have it, we should share what God has blessed us with, because you just roll by God. You just ignore God's need when you ignore your brother and sister's need. And that's why I love the Nation of Islam, because we're taught that every time you look in the face of the black man or woman, you're looking into the face of God. And when you see God in your husband, and when you see God in your wife, and when you see God in your children, when you are serving them, you have a reality that you're serving God. And when we understand that principle, there will be no child abuse. There will be no women abused. There will be no husband neglecting their wife or father neglecting their children. There will be no children disrespecting their parents. There will be no community with poverty and homelessness and drug addiction. There will be none of that when we love for our brother and sister what we love for ourselves. And when we see each other, we're seeing God, just like Jesus said to his disciples. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't even come and see me. He didn't put no money on my book. Well, he didn't say that. When I was sick, he didn't come see me.
That's right.
Said, Master, when were you in that condition? They were like startled. You know we would have came and seen you. You know we would have attended to you. He said, look. He pointed to the poor man in the mud. If you have not done these things, the least of these, my brethren, you have not done it also unto me. That is Jesus' brother in the mud. That is Jesus' brother on crack. That is Jesus' sister prostituting in the strip club. And how are you treating Jesus' people? That's showing you you're a hypocrite and a liar in the name of God when you ride by in your fine car, your diamond ring, and don't give a damn about the suffering of your people.
Woo.
And that's what we are. We're hypocrites in the garment of Christ, in the garment of Islam, the garment of Judaism. Religion is not what you say. Religion is what you do.
Come on.
Pardon me, Sister Queen. You brought that question up. You brought it out of me.
No, brother. That needed
but
to be.
But go ahead and teach. Go ahead and teach.
But this is what we have to start in the home. How can you see your wife unhappy, brothers? Or the woman that gave birth to your children. And you don't give her a kind word. You don't try to make her happy when she died on that labor bed to extend your future. That's you. She is your mercy. How can you disrespect your woman? But you want people to respect you. Ain't no black man going to be respected and he sees his woman in the strip club. See his woman on the corner. See his woman on crack. And you don't do nothing about it. And you allow these damn rappers to rap about your woman as she's a bitch in a hall. And you don't snuff their behind from the stage. You buying the tickets. You buying the albums. But you want to be respected as a people. You deserve to be shot down like a dog in the streets. If you don't respect your woman, you don't deserve life. How can you say you are alive and you don't respect the womb that bore you?
Come on. Come on, buddy Sam.
I don't buy that hypocrisy. A real man will protect his woman. And a real woman would surrender herself to God. A real woman would say, God, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can't make it without you. And men strive like hell to be the woman of God because no nation can rise no higher than this woman. When the woman rises from the self-hatred mentality, she will begin to clothe herself in the righteous spirit, the righteous mind, and the righteous garment of God, and don't care what man don't love her. Long as God loves you, his love is sufficient for you in all of your needs.
That's right.
And when you love God like that, as it says in Isaiah 53, it says, woman, God talking to you. He's talking to you. You mean he's talking to me? I'm talking to you out in the audience, black woman. He's saying, woman, God said, I am your husband. And that's what you got to do first. And I say it, read it right here in the King James Version, Isaiah 53, verse 5. He said, for thy maker. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer. If you need to be redeemed from whatever you're going through, sister. If you need to be made whole. There was a woman in the Bible that was living a harlot life. But she got tired. And when you get tired of running from God, know that God loves you. And know that whatever sin you have done, he will forgive you. And he will throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness because the black man can't go nowhere without the black woman. Once the black woman get it right, the whole nation comes up. But only God can heal your wounds. Only God can heal the broken heart and redeem you. The Holy One of Israel the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. See, God's calling you, forsaken woman. All of you that feel forsaken, he's calling you out your grief. And a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, said thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, said the Lord thy Redeemer. So God will have mercy on us. And sisters, black woman, you are the mother of civilization.
That's right.
When you love yourself, and when you love God with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength, the only kind of man you will bring into your life is the same man that Mary brought into her life according to the Holy Quran. And we sent, the Holy Quran says, our spirit to Mary in a form of a well-made man. My Lord, now that was a good-looking man, but he had God's spirit.
That's right.
That's
God
right.
Don't send you
That's
no
right.
ugly man.
Come on.
Sister, God give you a man that look good, smell good, but got the spirit of God, got the mind of God, and that man say, look, man, I come to give you a pure boy. Well, sisters, you ain't producing, you producing Crips and Bloods. Not saying you always, but you're hitting and missing. Sometimes you produce a good one, but when you are like Mary, Mary screened herself from men. Mary loved God with all her heart, all her soul, all her mind. Then God sent her a man that's a well-made man with his spirit. And he gave her a pure boy. And from that, you have an image of a happy family life. And Mary was protected by Zacharias. Zacharias should be every black man in our community.
That's right.
When you see a righteous woman, a black man should give his life for a righteous woman.
That's right.
And when you see 5 men or 10 men or 15 men attacking that righteous woman, Book of Proverbs, chapter 31, says she's more valuable than diamonds and gold. You run to that black woman's aid and say, this is the day I give my life. And that's the spirit that was going to make us a new community, a respected community. And at that, with that spirit, says Queen, ain't no white man going to come in our community killing our babies.
That's right.
They know it's going to be a price to pay.
Trust in
and
the
there's going to be no black-on-black crime. We're going to have black-on-black love.
So that's how I would answer that, Sister Queen. Pardon me for being passionate. Pardon me, you all. I got a little fired up. I don't know what got over me, but I really am thankful to Allah.
All praises be to and due to Allah for that message, brother. That was powerful, powerful.
All
yes,
praises are due to
what?
Allah.
We are at the end of the show, but I have to bring in these two gentlemen who are always with me. And I'm not going to talk about my listening audience. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. But I told y'all in the beginning this year, I really want to hear your voices, Louisiana, Georgia, California, Australia. I see all of y'all out there. So, but Brother Stanley was bringing it so hard. Any question that you may have had, I know he answered it because I had 15 questions for Brother Stanley, and he's answered all of them without me even asking. So all praises due to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
But I have to bring in our Vice President, Brother Kareem Muhammad. and Student Minister James Muhammad, who is the host of our study group for Friday night. So, assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right, so Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am.
Any questions, comments for Brother Stanley? Because you know he was going hard at it tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Well, all I can say is, in the name of Allah, I'm going to keep it real brief. In the name of Allah, period. I don't have any questions. The comment would be, all praise is due to Allah because he
right on point
with what he is sharing with us about how to produce a happy family. I mean, questions that I would have had myself. Like you say, he answered them because he's right on point, because he's coming directly from the words of Almighty God, Allah.
Loud Akbar.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Kareem. It's always good to hear from you, sir, a wonderful pioneer. We thank Allah for you, and we love you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you, brother, and indeed, y'all. I'm going to be here until, matter of fact, I'm going to have to talk to you even beyond the series because I need some help.
Yes, sir. Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other, my dear brother. I'll be honored to serve, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Okay, and the host of our Friday night study group, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, beloved.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Stanley.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother James. I thank Allah for life, and how are you? It's good to hear from you always, sir.
Always, brother. You know, when you're preaching, I'm going to be listening. But
praise be to Allah.
How? I'm going to tell you, I don't know how the Queen can bring me in. I didn't even press one to get in the host queue. So I thought I was being real slick. I said, why?
Hey,
how did you see me?
I got this technology down. I can open up all these lines right here, all these 404-678-972-310. I can
open up all of them.
Brother James, you forgot her name is Queen. That's what the Queen does, brother. She controls
the chessboard. That is right. But, you know, dear brother, whenever you speak on this subject matter, you know, as I have shared with you and with people in front of you, and also when you were absent, whenever I talk about you, and, of course, the Queen can bear me witness, that when I talk about you, one of the things I always say, one of the accolades I always give, is that you are an exemplary father and husband.
Praise be to Allah.
Always, you know, and I mean exemplary, and I must be, I don't know how many years your senior.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, brother, on that subject matter, you not only talk the talk magnificently, but I, over the many, many years, going on 3 decades now, that I have been blessed to know you and your family, brother.
Yes, sir.
You have always walked the walk magnificently, brother. And for
that, praise be to Allah.
It is a great honor and privilege just to listen whenever you are preaching on that subject matter, brother.
Well, Brother James, you know, you might be my senior in age, but, boy, you're definitely my peer in terms of the way you look, because you look youthful and always full of God's spirit, and you keep up the good work and being a wonderful defender of our nation and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, and you, too, are a wonderful example of a good husband, a good father, and a happy family life. And I thank Allah for you, brother, and all your wonderful words of counsel.
All praise is due to Allah. Keep up the good work, beloved.
Likewise. Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, but before we give the lineup for this week, I want to give everyone an update on Brother Jihad. Brother Jihad is improving so much so that the doctor talked to his wife, wife, and told her that people who usually have this level of or this severity of an aneurysm usually do not survive this long, and that the progress that he is making is actually, the words used by the physician was miracle. So all praises due to Allah. I cannot thank my nation building family, my listeners, my supporters enough for your prayers. Thank you for just your outpouring of love and care and concern for our brother. He is now officially breathing on his own because he had been on a respirator for over a week. So as of yesterday, he's actually breathing on his own. And so,
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. All praise be to Allah.
Yes. And
Allah answers prayers.
Severe brain damage for Brother Jihad, but the prognosis is now is that they don't see any brain damage. So
wow.
All praise is due to Allah, and all I can tell
That's
you
right.
is that I'm a witness. I'm a witness to the power of Allah. Every time I get an update about Brother Jihad, it just shows me more and more the power of prayer, the power of faith, and the power of Almighty God, Allah. And when he is working in your life, that nobody can diagnose you. You only can be misdiagnosed by others because Allah is the best knower, and he will make his will come into fruition. No matter what our will may be, if it's his will, it will happen. So I thank Allah for keeping our brother healed with us thus far, and please continue to pray for him and pray for our nation. You know, we are being challenged so much with health issues. We have Brother Harry Muhammad, who is the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan pilot. He's the minister's pilot, and he has two siblings who are in the hospital here in Houston, Texas. So let's keep Brother Harry in our prayers as well. And Student Minister Stanley,
you're
coming back next week for part three. So what is going to be the subject matter?
Well, of course, How to Build a Happy Family Life, part three, and we're going to go into how parents should rear their children and how we deal with the conflict in the relationship between husband, father, mother, wife, and children.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go into basic conflicts that we experience in our home and how to rear a God-fearing family, God-fearing children, and how to resolve these conflicts to prevent our children from veering from that righteous path. Because the Holy Quran says, be not harsh, Muhammad, unless they disperse from you. A lot of our children disperse from us because we are too harsh in correcting them. We're too harsh on them when they make mistakes. Sometimes it's the time to nurture them, not to punish them, and we have to know how to discern. And I want to talk about the three stages of sickness when you to recognize in your spouse and your children that lead to this death, and how we can reverse that fall and bring our family back to oneness through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. And I will share some of my own personal experiences with my 9 children and 7 girls and 2 boys. So I had a lot of emotional times in the house. And so
Ooh,
I would tell you,
you
that sometimes
seven
we
girls?
7 girls and 2 boys.
Oh.
And so you know them girls, they have a lot of emotional moments. And there was times that we talked till 3-4 o'clock in the morning for 5 hours until we came to a consensus. At the end, we hugged, we cried, and we prayed. And I can say, Sister Queen and everyone else, that my family, we all are in love with each other. And I married off my two oldest daughters when they turned of age to get married, and they're married to Believing FOI. And they are establishing a happy family life. And when they have difficulties in their marriage, they guess who they call? They call their father. They call their mother. And we guide them back to the straight path of God with the help of Allah and His servant, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. So I am blessed, and I would be more than happy to share my own life experiences to help others. So that's what we'll deal with, inshallah, in part three, and how to build a happy family life.
Okay, and since we have him here, Student Minister James Muhammad, what can we expect tomorrow night for study group?
Well, as usual, by the grace of Allah, inshallah, we're going to be discussing this great subject matter. Of course, overall, the time and what must be done, but particularly and specifically, the will. And we want to talk about, of course, part 54, the restorative healing power of the will that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us last Saturday. And we're going to, of course, have an open forum. We want everyone to call in. Some of you, who you may know who you are, your mics will be remain live. You'll be an inducted panelist. We're going to talk about that by Allah's grace. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, and then on Saturday, Young, Gifted, and Black is teaming up with Let Us McMahon. We're having a face-off, FOI-MGT. The FOI answers the questions of the black woman about his state or his status in the black community. And we're also giving assignments to the black men to go back into their communities and make a difference. And in 90 days, they're going to come back and share with us what they did. So you don't want to miss that, but I will print out the details, of course, like always, but that's Saturday at 8 o'clock. And on Sunday, our hot new show, The Movement, with Brother Tony Muhammad, who blew it out of the water last Sunday. So if you missed Brother Tony last Sunday, join us Sunday at 6:30 p.m. For Brother Tony's show called The Movement. And we do have Brother Kareem here. So, Brother Kareem, can we get a sneak peek at the topic on Monday?
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Our topic, inshallah, for Monday will be quickness, fast-moving cleanliness, internally and externally, right down to the modern time.
Yes.
Okay. Text me that information, please.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
All right. And on Tuesday, of course, we still have the blessing of technology, and we are going to be playing, I think it's part three of the Nation of Islam history that Brother Jihad did back in September of this past year. So we'll be playing that at 8 o'clock on Tuesday. And on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, DJ Black Season Friends. And, of course, next Thursday, we'll be right back here with Student Minister Stanley, making a happy family. And I just want to say this because I know you didn't get a chance to get into this, Brother Stanley, but since I have all of you on the phone, before I go any further, I want to thank my co-host, Brother Reginald Wynn. I could not do this without you, brother. Thank you so much for your participation, your help. I do not take you for granted. I thank Allah for you. I love you much, and I'm so glad that you're my co-host. You're making this a lot easier for me. But I have Brother Reginald here. I have Student Minister James, Student Minister Andre, and Brother Kareem. And I want to talk about prayer. and the power of prayer. It is so, so needed and so precious right now. And I know that you all are magnificent prayers, and I just want each of you, if you would, and I'm not going to keep everybody too long, but this is vitally important, because if you don't feel it now, you'll feel it soon. There's a change in the atmosphere, and people, we have to start praying. We have to really, really submit our will to do the will of Allah. We're in a very dangerous, dangerous time, and if you don't feel it in the atmosphere now, you will soon. So I just want each of you, if you would, just give us a little advice about prayer. And the reason why I say advice about prayer, because we have Christians who say they don't know how to pray. We have people who don't know what religion to grasp onto, but they need to pray. They need to establish their relationship with Allah. You have people who are Muslims and say that they don't know how to pray, that they feel that their prayers are inadequate because even though they go through the ritual, they do the rakahs, they don't know if Allah hears their prayers. And so, as I tell people all the time, your faith comes in degrees, you know, just like your knowledge comes in degrees. You are much more knowledgeable today than you were 10 years ago. So your faith is going to be a lot more stronger 10 years from now than it is today. Your faith comes in degrees, but stay prayerful. So, Brother James, would you all please expound on prayer for our listening audience, and especially for my listening audience over there in Kenya, in my hometown, Kasarani. I don't know what's really going on, but I know something is going on, and it's not pretty. But please, can we expound on prayer? So I'm going to start with you, Brother Stanley, the importance of prayer.
Well, prayer, it actually binds the worshiper with the Creator. And prayer brings us into oneness with Him. It is through prayer that delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. It is through prayer that delivered the three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace. It is through prayer that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. And it is through prayer that delivered Jesus from the cross and Prophet Muhammad from the death plot. Any difficulty that we might experience, health crisis, family crisis, economic crisis, spiritual crisis, mental crisis, prayer delivers us from any crisis that we might experience. Prayer is like gas in your car, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. When you feel like you can't go anymore, pray. And it will keep you going. And that's what I would say about prayer, Sister Queen.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And to the Minister James.
Yes, ma'am. I'm very beautiful, Brother Stanley.
Praise
for those of you who are listening, Christian and Muslim, as you know, there is a popularized Christian phrase that states, take everything to the Lord.
That's right.
In prayer.
Beautiful.
Not some things, everything. And in Islam, Allah says in the Quran, pray to me, I will answer you.
That's right.
And also in Islam, we are taught that Allah would care nothing for us were it not for our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not to indicate that he's some supreme egotist, but he's actually highlighting the importance of supplication, the importance of the act of worship, which is prayer. Prayer is the second principle or pillar in Islam. Right.
That's
after
right.
The declaration, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. And then right after that, the act that manifests the sincerity of your declaration, and that, of course, is prayer. Prayer, as I conclude, changes things.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, God has power to change every circumstance in our lives if such he desires to do. There's nothing, no condition, no circumstance that he cannot bring us out of, or if out of our desire we need to be brought into, that he cannot bring us into.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no condition, however distressful, however sad, however burdensome, that through prayer he will not give us the strength to pray. We're taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to say this prayer 7 times a day. It is called the Refuge Prayer. Can I recite it, Queen? Mm-hmm. It's not that long.
But absolutely.
We say, I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O Allah, we seek thy refuge from anxiety and grief. And we seek thy refuge from the lack of strength and laziness. And we seek thy refuge from cowardice and niggardliness. And we seek thy refuge from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. O Allah, suffice thou me with what is lawful, to keep me away from what is prohibited, and with thy grace, make me free from want of what is beside thee. Amen.
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 Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Beautiful.
Okay,
yes.
And you know, and Brother Kareem and Brother Reginald, I want y'all to get in on this too, because I know you all are not titled student ministers, but you are certainly, in my personal and humble opinion, you definitely qualify as student ministers to me. So, Brother Kareem, yes. I know you're going to break it down for us, so come on, break it down for us.
All praise due to Allah. And first I want to thank and commend Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and also Student Minister James Muhammad for what they shared with us, because this, again, right on the point, bringing it home. The word prayer is given to us or comes from the Latin word obtenere, which means to obtain. And when we understand what prayer is, see, many of us, we definitely need to go through the ritual of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever faith expression that we have, we definitely need to go through the ritual of prayer. For example, in Islam, we perform what is called salat, which is assuming, if I'm remembering it correctly, 8 different positions. But of particular interest is the position number 5